Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses, the first 13 verses. This is essentially Jesus' farewell sermon, a caution to watch and be prepared for the return of Christ. It's on page 860 in your pew Bible, if you care to follow along. And it reads, "And then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at the midnight, there was a cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom is arrived. Come out to meet him.' And then all the maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'Perhaps there will not be enough oil for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Since the first reading.
Thank you, Tim. Young people, I'm going to ask you a question, and then we're going to talk about it together. But while you deliberate, because as I think many people in the congregation, either those virtually or here, would affirm to you, if I ask them to, your comments last week about how are you present with someone you disagree with for them was quite educational and instructive. There were some very strong feelings. They were impressed. So, since you are that wise, Susie. Don't look like, why, seriously? Yeah, you are. Since you are that wise, I will ask you one that is far harder to consider today. And I'm curious, how do you know if you are part of us or part of them? How do you know if you're us or them? Because them, when you talk about those people, them, that means something, right? And you can sort of decide what that means for yourself. And if you're us, well, you're us, right? I mean, you're us. You know, I mean, come on, you're us, right? How do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between being us and being them? They're thinking. We'll give them some time to think, because that's what we do right now. Time's up. We can't be here all day. I mean, that's an all-day question, right? The adults know. If I sat down and we put the chairs in a circle and we talked, we'd be at this all day, us and them. But we don't have that sort of time today. How do you know, Jacob?
I would say that it's a matter of perspective. Mm. From your perspective, it's always us. Mm.
So Jacob thinks it's perspective. You can hear the mumbles behind you. They're, oh yeah, oh yeah. The us's agree, the them's don't, right? Susie, what do you think? My friend, do you have an answer? This is a tough one. This is a tough one.
That's very hard to talk.
That's very hard to talk, what Jacob said. Do you want to add anything to it? I'll give you that option.
I was thinking like one's good, one's evil.
And how do you make the distinction? One's good, one's evil. Us follows Jesus, them does it. Hey, that's an example, isn't it? That's an example, isn't it? Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Sammy, what do you think? Anything to add? He did a really good job, by the way. So you can say that. He did a really good job. Anything to add, Sammy? Us and them?
Well, I'm here.
Oh, you, so you're us. You're us. All right. It's about perspective, isn't it? Jacob hit the nail right on the head. Took everybody's thunder. They all thought, I'm going to be able to say that. It's perspective. And he just squashed you all and said, it's about perspective. And as it's about perspective, I think that means something, doesn't it? Especially as we move forward as the church in the remainder of our year and get ready to celebrate Advent, which is exciting. It means something when we get to Thanksgiving and we celebrate Thanksgiving. And it means something when we think about the distinction of us and them. As I look at the five candles that I've set up for you this morning, for those who can see them, and I'll just let you look later, they represent the five branches of our service. I had to be quizzed, or I had to make sure I had it right. Checked with the house expert on such things, and he gave me the dispensation after telling me no one loves me. Because that's his move, right? And he had other things to say, too. But for them who serve, us and them was irrelevant, wasn't it? Because we were all us. It was that important. I remember the story being told to me over and over again about my grandfather who lied not once, not twice, but three times to try to become part of us and to serve. The third time, I think the government just finally rolled their eyes and said, just fuck go, please, please, go away, Frank. It mattered to them. We were all part of us. And once you become part of us, however you define that, something changes in the dynamic. It's no longer those people, us people, it's us. The perspective is different. So as you gather continually throughout the week, as you celebrate Veterans Day in a few days, remember them, their sacrifice, their willingness to put their lives on the line so that we could be here together and celebrate what makes us unified. As Susie reminded us, we worship Jesus, the unifying force. Will you pray with me as we go to Scripture together? Loving God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what it says to us and how it challenges and shapes us. And as we continue to move forward as the church, as we continue to move forward as families and individuals in a world that is divisive and sees us and sees them, help us to notice that we are all us. For you sit on the throne before us. Now as we stop and consider these famous words, this story from Joshua, we ask you to speak to our hearts and to our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text today is found in the Pew Bibles, if you choose to follow with me as we read together. It is on page 207. It is Joshua 24, 14 through 25. Again, it is found on 207. Listen and hear God's word for you today. With Joshua speaking to us, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if you be unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, and who did great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you. And having done you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, "Nay, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Loving God, holy God, we thank you for these, your words, given to us by Joshua. As we stop and consider them now, speak to our hearts and to our minds. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Between 2100 and 1800 BC, the Lord appeared to Abram while he lived in the land of Ur. At that time, as you know, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. And although the father of the nations took matters into his own hands at different times, the covenant and the promise survived. Abram's children became as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sands upon the beach. 7 generations later, in 1250 BCE, the children of Israel stand before the Jordan and listen to Joshua make this famous declaration, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people respond in our passage that they will follow the Lord. They say that they always will. They've changed, Joshua. Their idolatry, their lack of faith that the previous generation displayed has been cured. They will trust in God. They always will trust in God, they say. Or do they? Do they always believe? The very next generation, the one following the death of Joshua, Judah specifically, hears from the Lord to go forth and conquer. God says to Judah, "I will be with you. You will be victorious." The people should remember this passage, shouldn't they? Should remember our text that we read. But Judah, like an irritated teenager, only listened to part of that message he heard from his own father in our text today. He invites his brother Simeon and the rest of his family to join the battle. But that was not what the Lord said to do, was it? "Go, Judah, and conquer." "I'll go, but I'm taking reinforcements with me." 7 generations of waiting. 7 generations from Abram to Joshua of promises. 7 generations of believing that God will come to us. And when God does come, we're going to listen. It's going to be different this time. We will serve the Lord. 7 generations of sharing those stories, of passing on those teachings, of retelling it over and over again. It falls by the wayside in 1 generation. 1. I wonder if that sounds familiar to your ears today. I wonder what stopped these people who boldly proclaimed in our text today that they will follow God's command. They will serve God only. What stops them from fulfilling the covenant that is made with them by Joshua at Shechem in our text? 13 times in the text that we read together, they say they are committed to serving the Lord faithfully for the rest of their combined futures. Whether they say it directly, use the word serve, or it's inferred by what they affirm, 13 times they say it. "We will serve the Lord." Why is there such a dramatic fall off? Why give that affirmation up so quickly when you stated it so boldly? Why such a little amount of faith, children of Israel? These are the questions that I struggled with as I came to the text. Can we as the church offer an answer to those questions, to that struggle? Can we identify that moment, that idea, that very second when we stop serving the Lord, stop stating that we'll serve the Lord, and do it our way instead? I wonder then, do we say that we will serve the Lord only to forget those words, that promise, the very next day, as these people did? If so, then I think our text from Joshua offers us something that can help us break that cycle. That being the power, I think, of memory. Of memory. This passage, in spite of its familiarity and how it's on so many houses, on cross stitches on the wall, "We will serve the Lord in this house," still holds mystery for us to ponder. These are the mysteries whose answers, I believe, can help us encounter the people of our community faithfully. When we stop and think about it, it's hard to imagine how the Israelites I just described through their history could answer God in that way and then forget. The Red Sea parting, the plagues, the fire in presence of God on Sinai, the victories in Numbers. How could they leave it all behind so easily when they have that physical, tangible proof right before them? We know that for generations, as I've said, these people cried, they pleaded, they begged God to come and save them. To comfort themselves and their children, they remembered and they restate, they reteach the promises of God. They pass on what they have learned generation to generation. Beginning with Moses and what they learned from him on through Sinai into today. But again, at the most inopportune time, when their faith is most needed to sustain them, when a response is sought to address how we'll live moving forward, it just falls by the wayside. It is forgotten. It's forgotten. This leads me again to wonder if forgetfulness is a hard habit to break, both inside and outside of the church. For they, and we know moments, we have stories that speak to the need to remember God's faithfulness in our lives as individuals, in our lives as the church. And yet forgetfulness happens all the time. The children of Israel forgot, I think, because it is easier to forget than having to concentrate on remembering. And the implications of those stories. Sometimes the Christian response, the response Jesus asks of us when we live and work with and in our community, is to hold on to the truth. Don't let it go. Don't forget. It may be hard. It may look like a daunting task in the moment. It may be what the Israelites are about to do is forget. But it is what the church following God is called to do. Remember. Do not let the ease of forgetfulness overwhelm you. Yet that doesn't deny or resolve the issue in totality. Joshua stands before these people in a raised sense in this text, and he makes some deliberate choices. He gives them those famous words, knowing, I believe, because of his communion with God, that they will forget when these issues arrive. He then restates his message and its implications over and over and over again in an attempt to combat the forgetfulness. I hope you heard that as you were listening to it. Over and over. We've heard this. Over and over. He is speaking, if you will, as a loving parent might, to their children. Repeat and reinforce. Keep saying it over and over again. Eventually, right, parents? It'll get in there, theoretically. It'll get in there. Repeat it. Reinforce it. Joshua does it. His message is crystal clear to the people every time he states it. Remember his faithfulness and remember who you serve. Remember God. Remember how God listened to your prayers. When you are tempted to forget, remember that all of creation is watching you, Israelites, and now by extension, Church Universal. The world watches closely, Joshua says by extension. He reinforces the need to remember by the constant use, the 13 times of the verb to serve. Like I've already said, it's in almost every single verse that I read. Sometimes multiple occurrences in one verse. When Joshua uses the word to serve, he is using a word with a rich history that these people will be aware of. They'll remember it. It will catch their ear when they hear it. First occurring in the Hebrew language all the way back at the beginning in Genesis, the word abad is associated with an aspect of how Adam and Eve were called to care for all of God's creation in the garden. It's used almost 300 times in the Old Testament. In Genesis 2 and then in Genesis 2:15, humanity is to work or serve the land in the Garden of Eden. It's a divine mandate in that case. In that case, abad is almost a symbiotic relationship between us and God and the world. Genesis tells us that in the garden, no one was found to work the land or to care for it. So God entrusted humanity with the mission. Service is not something that we do in this casual sense. It carries duty from God to us. We are bound to the service as either workers or the servant in the passage. A final use of abad defines our service not just as duty, but an act of worship. Worship. When Adam and Eve or the people in Joshua's text or you and I are told to serve the Lord, we are told to do so faithfully with a worshipful posture instead of one just out of duty because we have to. I don't come to worship today, for example, just because I'm told to. I come because I want to. I go to my scriptures in the morning because I choose to. It's my worshipful act. Worshipfully, I go before the Lord. Adam and Eve gardened worshipfully in Genesis, and they walked with God physically because of their service together. They had unique communion with God in a very personal way. The Israelites in today's text are called to serve the Lord in the same way as they enter the promised land. And as they do so, they are worshipfully living. People will see they are different. And so we, like the Israelites, are called as we serve to remember that as we serve, we do not do so out of duty alone, but we do so out of worship all the more. We are called to remember when forgetfulness is a far easier choice to make and embrace because it requires less concentration and less attention be paid. We remember and we serve. The implications of this idea are quite wide-reaching, certainly. But I want to focus us on one of the many aspects of it. That being that if our rationale for service is not done out of love or worshipfully, if we do not remember whom we serve, then what sets us apart from anybody else? What makes us any different from any other group of people gathering together? They might care for personal selfish reasons. The world's motivation might be personal or selfish. And yet we stand outside of that because we care. Our calling is different. We are called to care because we know that God cares for us. We have seen it. We can remember it. We know people who have served us so that we could feel God's love and care with us. We know the promises that God delivered us. We're different, and we remember. It is appropriate to remember this idea as we celebrate and as we remember Veterans Day later this week. Those individuals served our country faithfully and diligently. Their service mirrored the worshipful service God calls his church to adopt. And so as you come later this week to that day, pause on it. Linger over it. Be aware of it. Notice who cared for you in your family's life, in your country's history. Is it your Christian duty only to serve? Or is there something more going on? Is your service part of your worshipful response to God? And if so, if you think it is, then I suspect that service will live long after the opportunity and option to forget arose. Let us pray together. Loving God, we thank you for gathering us together this morning around your scriptures, for encountering us, challenging us, helping us to remember when the temptation exists in our world to forget. Give us the encouragement today, loving Father, so that as we go from this place back into our world, we may go and be present in the lives of other people, reminding them of your goodness, your faithfulness, and your grace. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Excuse me. In response to the word of the Lord, will you stand with me as you are able, as we come together and confess in one voice what we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Part of the joy of being together this morning in our worship time is the opportunity to speak about the good things of God in our lives. Because again, outside of here, we hear a lot of the not so good things about God in our lives. And so this morning, as we gather before we share joys and concerns, where have you seen God at work? Tim.
So I went to vote on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where I saw God at work. I walked in a line and there was a Sue Reed standing right in front of me. He was a company with an hour or so wait in line. When I left, I turned the key in my car and dead was a door to go.
Oh.
I had to be at work in an hour. So Sue came to my rescue, tried to jumpstart my car over to work. Gave me a ride home and made some arrangements for work. I went back up to Grace Church, and while I was waiting, no less than 8 people, most of whom I did not know, stopped offering help. You need a ride somewhere, so on and so forth.
Hmm.
And I thought, you know, with all the diversity and adversity and politics and what's going on, there's still a lot of goodness in the world.
Absolutely is correct, Tim. There is a lot of goodness in the world. Thanks for sharing that story on Tuesday of going to vote, with being present with Sue, and even though you had car trouble, 8 other people came by just to say, can we help you with anything? It was awesome. Where have you seen God at work, Bonnie? Thank you for sharing with us this morning, Bonnie. We are glad that you are with us this morning. Glad that you didn't know why you came home to Pennsylvania, but God did, and God brought you here. And that's a good thing. God is at work there. Where have you seen God at work?
Well,
Amy.
I just the candles up front are so moving, and I think of all our veterans and everyone who served, and we always have to say thank you.
Yeah.
I think of my dad who's in the Navy, Tim's dad who's in the Army, and it's just wonderful when people serve.
Absolutely. Thank you for reminding us about Veterans Day. God at work in their lives. Thank you. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing with us this morning. I'm going to try not to let all these little pieces of paper I have here blow away with the fan running behind me. So if I go chasing them, I'm sorry, but I will forget. So we have a number of joys and concerns to share with you this morning. In no particular order before our service, Nina asked me to ask you to pray with her. She's getting ready to travel to Florida. And as we did every other time, we'll pray for lots of snow in Florida for you. And no snow up here. So that's how that goes, right? But we will pray for you, Nina, as you travel. Please be safe. And return to us safely. I know it's going to be a tough trip. We received, Jennifer asked you to pray for this week, the mother of a co-worker. His name is Liz. We have prayed for Liz several times as she battled cancer. The cancer is back. And it might not be beatable this time. So please keep Liz and your family and her family in our prayers. In Sunday school, Joanne asked me to pray for the family of Edna Gartner. Edna Gartner, her sister Eileen's sister-in-law, she died recently. She has a daughter of the family, so she's passed, and we will pray for God's comfort and care to be with them in their grieving. Finally, Sue handed me a note asking us to pray for Reg Clinton-Smith, the father of her children. He's in the ER today with some possible COVID heart symptoms. And so we will pray for Reg today. I also encourage you to pray for those involved, those affected by COVID, as you sort of watch and hear in the news each day more and more cases set a record. And if you're really watching closely, it's moving west to east, these shutdowns and these issues. So pray for those involved and those in the healthcare business as well. Do you have joys and concerns to share besides what I've added? Kathy.
I have a bunch.
I have plenty of paper.
First, continue prayers for Amy.
Mm-hmm.
She did have a scan earlier this week. The main tumor in the lymph all showed signs of shrinking, as well as some of the other tumors. One, there was growth. They think that might be an inflammatory process, not cancer. Yes. There's also a treatment lead. They have yet another drug.
Absolutely.
Secondly, also somebody we prayed for in the past, although not for quite some time, prayers for Tyler. We first prayed for him as an infant, had some problems with his liver, ended up needing a transplant. The first one didn't take, which put him to days, only having days.
Mm-hmm.
The second
mm-hmm.
one, they had a living donor because he was so small, he only needed a small piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for all of these years, that's
That's a lot. That's a lot, yeah. Well, we will certainly keep Victoria in our prayers as she's having a surgery coming up here.
And a lot of anxiety in
yeah.
the situation because, she had so much pain last time and they have since figured out that her body was not metabolizing
okay.
the drugs correctly.
Right.
So it was like she was not getting anything.
Sure. We will keep her in our prayers with all of that. Absolutely. We will pray for Tyler as he has had a third liver transplant and a lot of complications with that. We will trust his care to be with God.
15, 16.
He's 15, 16 now, okay? And we will pray for Martha. Thank you. We will pray for Amy, who had a scan this past week. The tumor has shrank some. We've been praying for her for a while with this esophageal cancer. But it's a treatment week, so it's going to be a tough week for her. So we will keep all of them in our prayers this morning. As we were going through that, I got a message from Jennifer. She's watching our service with us. She's worshiping virtually. Today is Bev's birthday. So please keep Beverly McGill in your prayers and send her a card or give her a call or whatever and wish her a happy birthday. So I can say as Jennifer's watching, I got your message, dear. So we will keep Bev in our prayers today. Are there other joys and concerns? Janelle.
It's Leah's birthday today, too.
It's Leah's birthday today, too. Leah is 8. Well, praise God for her. We will pray for her as well. Tiffany? So you said Andy and is having an amputation, and we will keep him in our prayers today as he has that and then heals from it. Thank you. Are there others this morning? Julie. That's a good thing to remind us of, Julie. We will be praying for our country as well today. Whether you are us or them in that equation, it is irrelevant. We are a country, and we will pray for God's blessing to be upon us and healing and peace to come around us. So thank you for that. Are there any other joys and concerns? Then let us be the church. Loving God, present God, healing and restoring God, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for watching over us, for being present when we need you, for those times when the concerns upon our hearts are so heavy that the moment we get the prayer out, we just sigh and sag and fatigue. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for reminding us to remember you and your faithfulness, your love, your long-standingness with us. It is because you are here today in our midst that we can gather and worship, thanking you for the work and the sacrifice and the service of the men and women of our armed forces. Their lives speak for them. We are grateful for what they've done for us, for the freedoms we have that they have won on our behalf. Bless their families today. Bless them as they continue to go about the life you've called them to. Watch over our veterans, past and present. We thank you for the joys this morning we shared of it being Leah's 8th birthday. Bless her with a special birthday today. Continue to guide her and watch over her. We thank you for Bev, as Jennifer reminded us, it's her birthday, and we pray that you would watch over her, continue to help her be a foundation of our congregation for her light and witness among us. We give you praise, gracious God. And we bring you the needs and the concerns that are heavy upon our hearts today. We think of Nina traveling with family to Florida, a long journey. Give them safe travels. Allow the work that needs to be done in Florida to be done according to your will and purpose. Watch over them and return them when the time is right safely to us. Be with them as they travel. We think of Liz, whose cancer is back so aggressively. We pray for her, for those who care for her and love her. Watch over them. Help her to win this battle. Heal her body again, Lord, as you have done. We pray for Reg this morning, possibly dealing with some COVID heart issues today in the hospital. Be with him. Be with those who care for him. Let them be your hands and feet ministering healing for Reg. We pray for the family and friends of Edna Gartner as she has returned to be with you. Loving God, comfort and sustain them when they hurt, when they grieve, as they hurt and as they grieve. We think of Amy this morning, who has been on our hearts and minds before. We are glad for the report that the main tumor she deals with has shrunk. But there is still more work to be done. Treatment this week added on treatment. So be with Amy. Give her stamina and strength as she goes through this. We think of Tyler as well, who has gone through now his third liver transplant. Many issues, lots of complications, but a steadfast God watching over him. So God be with him. Help his body to accept this new liver and continue to grow and be strong. We pray for Victoria, knowing she has been in so much pain, has felt so much anxiety because of it. Be with her as she prepares for a surgery. Several surgeries as the hardware is removed, the infection is dealt with, and then it is put back. God be with her and her family. We think of Andy today, who is dealing with an amputation. Watch over him. Give his body the healing that it needs. And the mental healing that comes with a procedure such as that. And finally, Lord God, we lift up our country to you. Not an agenda or a party or a policy, but we pray for your presence to dwell. For we know and we affirm as the church, you sit upon the throne. You watch over all of creation. And so bring peace. Bring healing. Bring your very presence. And as we go from this place, Lord God, help us to be agents of sharing that peace, of encouraging that healing. Help us to be ministers in our own ways as you send us out into be the community as Christ was with us. And as we continue to worship you today, Lord God, hear us together as in one voice we offer you the prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.